All right, guys, here we go. It is fight week for my main man, UFC debut, Alon Cruz. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Doing good, man. First of all, how does that sound? It's here. It's fight week for you, man. You ready?
Yeah, man. I can't wait. You know, it seems, I mean, it has been, I think, what, 7 or 8 months now since my last fight?
Right.
And it wasn't even a UFC fight. It was just to get into the UFC. So now I'm finally able to make my debut. So, you know, I'm more than excited.
Very cool, man. UFC Norfolk, ESPN Plus. So excited for you, man. Cannot wait. We're ready. Kind of that standard question. How you feeling? Fight camp. How you feeling mentally, physically, weight? Everything is good. It's been a great camp for you?
Oh, yeah. It's been a great camp. You know, I've, you know, trained, you know, just as hard as I normally do, maybe
right.
even harder. And my body's been holding up well. Mentally, you know, I'm zoned in. Like, I'm just ready to make my debut and just really show everybody that, you know, I belong here,
mm-hmm.
you know, and showcase, you know, my skills to the world on the big stage now.
Right. It is, man. Walking into that octagon. Got something there in a second, though, before. But you did mention the Contender Series. That, you know, huge fan of the Contender Series. You had one of those crazy great finishes. You know, do you think it's a whole other step up, a whole different level fighting on the Contender Series? Now it's finally UFC debut? Or you feel like, nah, I've been in the cage already. I'm good.
I think it's kind of a little bit of both.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I fought personally in front of Dana and Mick and Sean, right?
And that was
an interesting scenario, and it was basically a show, right? So we were being showcased for that. And then this time I'm just a random fight on a card, just on a bigger stage than what a regional show that I would be on. So really, at the end of the day, it's just another fight card, just on a bigger stage.
Oh, for sure. Definitely not a random fight, man. We can't wait. A lot of people around here in Florida especially are buzzing for you, man. We're super excited. Your opponent changed midway through, right? Now you're fighting Spike Carlisle?
Yes, sir.
What does that do? It's so funny, man. I talk about this kind of all the time. The Super Bowl was the Chiefs and the Niners. It didn't change. That was the Super Bowl. This is, in a way, your Super Bowl, your UFC debut. Does it... anything mentally, anything like, oh, are you happier now that something changed? Maybe this guy was a little bit short notice, or don't care about them. I'm only taking care of me.
You know, the way I train and my mentality for just training in general is that, you know, it doesn't really matter who they put in front of me for the most part. I should be able to beat whoever they put in front of me. I'm always
right.
training for, you know, as of now, Volkanovski is the champion, right? So
right,
I'm
right.
training to beat Volkanovski. Like, that's what I'm trying to do.
Wow.
I'm trying to improve my skills so that I can eventually get to that point and then fight for the belt. So, you know, the only thing that's different with Spike and Steven Peterson is that Spike is probably a little stronger. He's a little shorter, a little more physical, and he has knockout power. But, I mean, other than that, you know, it's just another fight. You know, we'll take whatever.
Dude, you kind of just described Volkanovski.
Yeah,
a little short.
So this is a good test fight for me then, right?
Right. You really did. A little shorter. Not, you know, that is it is crazy. We talked about that last time you were on the show. Now it looks like there's buzz between Alexander and Cejudo. Do you think there's anything honestly between that? Is that just way out of your, you know, don't care right now? I want to take care of my business. 3, 4, 5 fights, and then we'll see what's happening up there.
Yeah, to be honest, until you just said that, I didn't even know. So,
oh, yeah.
I'm not even really thinking about that. I thought him and Max were having, you know, their rematch.
Right, and they should. Max has been the king of that division for 4 or 5 years now. You know, I hate using that word, the D word, the deserve word in mixed martial arts, because mm-hmm. life isn't fair, the game isn't
right.
fair sometimes. But you think out of all these champions, Max kind of does deserve that little comeback match, I would think.
Yeah, for sure, because, you know, even when, like, Jose Aldo lost to Conor McGregor, I thought he should have got the rematch just because, you know, Jose was so dominant as a champion for so long.
Right.
And then it wasn't like he got completely dominated, it, like, for, like, 5 rounds or just completely outclassed. He just got caught, you know, very early in the fight. So those are the fights I definitely want to see run back.
Right.
And then with Max, you know, he got outpointed, like, you know. Maybe some people thought that he won. I don't think he did. I think he did get outpointed.
Right.
But it wasn't like he got completely dominated.
Right,
you know,
right.
He didn't get dominated for 4 rounds and then get finished. Then it's like, okay, like, we don't need to see a second fight.
Right, right. I got you on that one. That's funny you say that. Man, I still, that memory, Starch City, Jose getting starched 12, 13 seconds into it is still one of those incredible UFC moments. You had one of those contender series moments. That's kind of a question. We'll take it there. Are you looking forward to that? Are you looking for a moment? Are you looking for a finish? Or, hey, I want to win. That's all that matters. Anything. I'll take 15 minutes. I'll take a war. I'll take a split decision. Whatever it takes. I just want to win. Or are you looking for a you know, a magic moment inside the octagon?
So, number one, first and foremost, I definitely want to win.
Right.
That's. But I do want to win impressively or in good fashion. So number two, secondary, would be to win in a very impressive way, you know, that I would be up for a performance bonus. Because obviously, you know, everybody wants a performance bonus, right?
Right.
That's a life changer.
Right.
But I would be happy with a win as well, whether it's, you know, three 5-minute rounds. Or, you know, it ends in the first round in 5 seconds.
That's awesome, man. We're talking with Alon Cruz here. UFC debut this Saturday, ESPN Plus, Norfolk, Virginia. So I was driving into the studio, and I kind of was thinking about this. And, you know, broad subject, and especially with you. You made your debut, your professional debut, 2013, right?
Yep.
7 years ago. 7 years ago. So first of all, let's just hit on that. Man, how good is it to kind of have that maybe chip off your shoulder, the monkey off your back? 7 years grinding, getting beat up, injuries, fighting on the regional scenes, fighting for $200 to finally walk into the octagon. How's that going to feel, brother?
It's going to be great. It's just going to be like, you know, I finally made it. Like, this is where I should have been a long time ago. And it's just taken a long time, and I've had to take that road to get me here. But, you know, everybody says, you know, things happen for a reason. So maybe, you know, if I had made it in earlier, I wouldn't have been ready. And then I would have been kicked out
right,
pretty soon.
Right.
I think I have all the tools and the experience now to make it into the UFC and then stay in the UFC and then progress and work my way up. So,
right.
I think it worked out perfectly.
For sure, and it's hard to get back in. That's a great point by you. When you kind of get in there, maybe a little quick, a little early, and then, you know, lose one or two in a row and get booted out, it's super hard to get back in. Kind of where I was going to take my, you know, the seven-year story, too, is it's so crazy in our sport, mixed martial arts, UFC, right? You had to be a professional for 7 years, and you couldn't turn pro until 18, 19, 20, whenever, you know what I mean? Yep. Zion Williamson, a great basketball player, you know, you can play basketball when you're young and in all this, but when you turn high school and then you're a college for 1 year, you turn pro in the NBA, the kid's 19 years old, and he's in the NBA, our UFC, the pinnacle of the top, and it's just so crazy that there's not like this, not like a minor leagues, but some kind of like, instead of the regional scenes, like some kind of UFC would have some kind of layering system of, you know, go into really big gyms and other gyms and be like, wow, guys, Alon Cruz comes here to my gym. He's a great, we want to get him into the system. Kind of like what soccer does. They kind of get him into the system. And then
like
you
the
go,
minor team.
Yes, yes, exactly. I really think the UFC should look into that because it's so hard, man. Like, you know, regional scenes pushes certain guys for a certain reason. Maybe one guy's a ticket seller. You know, maybe they put him on the top of the trademark. In UFC, it's so hard to look through the talent. And it's just like there's got to be a better way to get talent like you maybe into the UFC maybe a year or two quicker. Do you like where I'm going with it? Do you feel me where I'm at? Or
yeah, no, that definitely makes sense because, you know, like you said, there's a clear path to how to get to the NFL or how to get to the NBA, right? You do well, you go to high school, you have scouts watching you, and like you said, either you go to college and you play college ball or you get drafted straight to pro. But there's a set path. So the UFC, the UFC, there's so many different ways you can get in. You could be 5-0, but you know somebody in the UFC, like Uriah Faber for Cody, Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, yeah.
He said, if you go 5-0, I'll get you in, you know? So he knows somebody, or you go on the Ultimate Fighter, and you can find the Ultimate Fighter and get in the UFC that way. For me, it was Contender Series.
Right.
You can also just get signed straight out. You just work your way up on the regional scene, and then Dana and Sean are watching you, and they call you up, and you take a final short notice, and now you're in. There's so many different ways. There's no clear path on what the best way is. So
right.
Having a minor league would definitely help out. You know, like you said, like in, I think Invicta is basically a minor league for women, right?
For sure, 100%.
The UFC picks up all their women from Invicta for the most part.
Great point. Great point. And also, too, one thing I like is kind of what the UFC, I seen you were out there, you know, what, maybe a month ago at the Performance Institute and all that, is like, if they had like this minor league system, they would have more fighters to maybe train with UFC fighters week of or a couple weeks of going to the show. And they have guys like you maybe a year ago, and maybe you're training, you're rolling with Max Holloway, getting him ready for his fight with Volkanovski. You know what I mean? So I just think it gets more bodies involved. It would speed up your, you know, trajectory if you're, you know, rolling with Max Holloway, one of the best of the featherweights of all time. So, you know, just a lot of things. And it's so early. It's that's what people don't understand of the sport of MMA and UFC. It's so early, guys. It's so young. ESPN deal is awesome for you guys, Reebok. So just so happy for you. But it's fight week, man. UFC Norfolk. When are you guys heading out there to Norfolk?
We leave Tuesday.
Tuesday
morning.
Okay.
And then we'll come back Sunday with a win.
There we go. Absolutely, my man. Two last things for you. I know you're super busy. We'll keep it tight. One is, last weekend or 2 weekends ago, we saw two illegal knees, one to Brock Weaver, one to Diego Sanchez. And kind of I flirted with this idea with now third podcast in a row. And they're like, oh, I like this.
Okay.
One ref, Brock Weaver, the ref waved it off right away. Done. On Diego, the ref didn't. The ref even talked to Diego, and that's a whole other podcast. Shouldn't have even done it or whatever. But my point is, where I'm going with it is, dude, the fighters, you guys will always want the smoke. You guys will always want to stay in there and want to fight. You know what I mean? Brock Weaver, even afterwards, I talked to the man. He wanted to go. He wanted round two.
He's crazy.
He's a hell of a guy. Absolutely. Dude. He's a warrior. My point is, I think it should all go to the coaches. That's why they're there. They know you. They train with you daily, weekly, monthly. They've seen your grind, your way up. They know if you're in it or if you're not in it. You know what I mean? I think it shouldn't be the ref. The ref shouldn't have stopped Brock's, or should have gave it to Diego. It should go to the coaches. Do you like that idea on illegal knees and kicks and soccer kicks of that nature?
Yeah, I don't mind that idea because, you know, like you said, they know you best, and the fighter's always going to want to fight.
Right.
So, like, if you give the fighter the choice, they're not going to say no. I mean, I know Diego said no, but, you know, like, Brock, I mean, he got put out.
Right.
Like, he got kneed, and he was gone. But if he had the choice, he would have kept fighting.
He wanted it.
The best thing for him.
Right.
So, you know, his coaches, hopefully, if they gave them the choice, they would say, you know what?
Yeah.
He really got hurt. Like, I think we need to stop this fight. And even Diego, you know, I know – He should know these. He knows the rules. But even Diego was asking if he could ask his coach.
Yeah,
you know, while he was in there, and I was like, dude, I was like, you know, you can't do that.
I know. I thought it was so wild. What? Yeah. Okay. We hit on it. What do you think? That was just one of the most wild scenes in UFC history. Just like the whole his coach and just Diego, his mannerisms the whole weekend, and then for that knee to happen, of course, the flipping Michael guy, that's just always stuff is going to happen to him, it seems like, in every fight. But I thought it was just a wild scene, Diego Sanchez.
Yeah, you know what's funny is I met Diego and his coach while I was out in Vegas.
Okay.
And they were training in the cage, you know, often. Like, every time I go there, they were in there. And they were doing some really unorthodox stuff that I was just like, okay, with some of the things. Some things I was like, all right, that's kind of weird, but... You know, if it works for them and they have their system and it works for Diego,
right,
then I guess more power to them, you know?
Wow, crazy stuff, my man. All right, last one. Around a month ago, John Jones, Dominic Reyes, who won the fight, judging, and then it's been every show, every podcast, Joe Rogan, Chael Sonnen, Fight Bananas, what should we do with scoring? We've been talking about it for a while, an open open judging. There's a scoreboard. You're wearing red today. Boom, brother, you're in the red corner, blue corner, 1-0, 1-0 after the fight. You know, just to see if you're in the clinch game or if you're working the ground game more and the other guy's jabbing and those refs give it to jabs that night, or if that ground, those judges love the ground game another night. You never know, but at least after round one, you know where you're at. Tell me, that it's just common sense. We got to have open scorebooks. We got to know where we're at after each round. You agree or disagree?
I don't know. So I was talking about this last night.
Okay.
I know that Kansas MMA show, they're going to play around with it.
Invicta FC is going to do it too.
And Invicta. I kind of want to see how it works out because, you know, if you get like let's say you got a guy and he's up two rounds. Right. He knows he's up two rounds. He might just try to coast that third round, and he's not looking to finish the fight. And I mean, which that's his, you know, prerogative. Go ahead.
Right. And let me break up right away. Out of every, and I that was like the number one thing, and this has been 150 episodes, so I'm with it. I love this. I love it. Out of every sport, my man, you know this more than any of us, you can't coast in mixed martial arts. Like, maybe right. In football, maybe I can hand the ball off a little bit more. Maybe I'm looking for a walk in baseball, whatever it is. In basketball, you waste 24 seconds. You can't waste time in MMA. If you take off your brakes a little bit against some of your training partners that you are better in and you kind of get the jump on them, but you have an off night, a C-level night, they might get you, right? Like, I just feel like out of all the times in mixed martial arts, you can't coast. Like, I always fight that. I'm like, I just don't see a UFC fighter, you know, of course, you know, this is, you know, minor leagues or regionals, but on the UFC, everyone is the best of the best. Everyone has worked their ass off to get to this point. I just think it's hard to coast in the UFC.
So I guess a better word instead of coasting would be,
like,
so you definitely have different levels, right?
Right.
Let's say there's desperation. There's definitely desperation in the cage. So if you're down two or it's a close fight, you're inclined to be more aggressive and go for a finish a little harder than you might be. You might do more reckless things because you know that it's coming down to the line.
Right.
Whereas if you're winning two, you might not be as reckless and you might not be as aggressive. So you stick to the game plan, right? You do your normal stuff.
Right.
But maybe, you know, when you hurt the guy or you it seems like you're starting to win, you might not go in for the kill like you would if you were losing. So I guess you can't really call it coasting, like you said. It's just a level of aggression.
Right. And that's a great point. I love that point by you. And I almost want to use that point kind of vice versa. So if you're – let's just go with Dominic and John. Dominic in the fifth was – let's just use the word coasting, or he was playing defense.
Mm-hmm.
He thought he was ahead. He thought he was going to beat the greatest light heavyweight, maybe the greatest fighter of all time. He was playing defense and behind. But in the judges' court books, he wasn't ahead. So imagine if Dominic knew that, and Dominic's like, okay, like in the first round, I'm going all out, and I'm throwing lefts, and I'm going to be the aggressor, which in round one, he won that round. Everyone agrees that Dominic Reyes won round one. I just feel like it gives the fighters that are losing a better chance to come back, or maybe like you, I love the word you used too, is desperate. Maybe, Mike Perry and Luque had a razor sharp fight like 6 months ago. Maybe Perry's throwing bombs in round three. And you and I know this. I don't know if you train with Mike here in Orlando at all, but Mike can throw bombs. That's what Mike Perry does. I just think it gives the fighter that's losing, it gives him a chance to kind of go for it. And then the guy who's winning, maybe it lets him know that he's winning. And, you know, and it's better game plans. It kind of gets into coaching a little bit more. I don't know.
I think it would be interesting because, I mean, even like you said, so like for the guy who's being aggressive because he's losing versus the guy who knows he's winning, he might lose that round or start losing the fight because he knows he's ahead. Now he's not fighting like he was in those rounds that he was winning, right?
Maybe
his aggression and the way that he was fighting to win those rounds, now that he knows he's winning, he starts to lose because he's not fighting like he was.
Right.
So it could be an interesting dynamic. I just want to see how it goes down first.
Sure.
I was also saying like last night that like I think the whole anticipation of what the decision's going to be at the end, that's what everybody hangs on, right? You're waiting to hear Bruce say, you know, and still or and new. There's really no anticipation if we already knew how the fight's going to go. It just kind of ends, and then it's like boxing. It ends, and you already know who won for the most part.
Right.
Until they tally up that last round.
Right. No,
so maybe I guess you just don't know the final round.
Right. That's a great point, too, and I really like that. Legit point. I always – same thing. I just used the Demetrius Johnson versus Cejudo, too. When they were tied, everyone thought they were tied 2-2 going into the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
A rematch – it was a championship fight. Imagine if, like, the crowd knew it was 2-2. And like you said, maybe that end, the buzz isn't there for the end. But imagine the buzz for that minute. It's like, oh, wow, Demetrius won round four. Now it's 2-2 in
that
a rematch
round,
for the title. The all 5 minutes, I can see the whole crowd is stepping up in the L.A. In Las Vegas. I think it would just – it's a different dynamic. And you're right. Like, there's definitely things to – you know, trick and you know, play with and make sure to get right. But it's just, it's 2020. Every other sport has a scoreboard, and I think MMA and UFC, it's getting so mainstream. It's so legit and so big, and people are betting on it, and it's on ESPN Plus, and you're wearing Reebok. It's in a Snickers commercial. We're middle class America now, man. We're here. So I just think,
like you said, every other sport has, you know, scoreboards. You know, even in wrestling. You know whether you're up or down, jiu-jitsu tournaments, you know whether you're up or down.
Right.
So I guess, you know, it would work for combat sports, or it should work for combat sports, right? Just because, I mean, in those tournaments, you already know what's going on. Like, you know you're down. Like, you need to pick it up, or, you know, do what you got
to
do.
Crazy, man. Crazy. Allah, man. I could talk to you all day. It's so funny. I still got people, you know, listeners and subscribers. They, like, DM me or they get at me. They're like, man, I love that Allah and Cruz and the Pink Power Ranger moment in the episode last time. And it was the 10 questions. Oh, yeah. Like, first crush, the Pink Power Ranger. Like, I hear it all the time. To this day, it's crazy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man. Congratulations to you, brother. Fight week, just the beginning. I know this is just the beginning for you. Bring home the win on Sunday. We'll talk after that, and we'll talk about who we're going to fight next, you know?
Awesome. We will.
All right, my man.
Thank you, sir.
Continued success. I'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it.
All right, guys. That was it. Alon Cruz. Fight week this week, UFC Norfolk. Cannot wait, man. Wow. Yeah, he's fighting Spike Carlisle. He's making his UFC debut as well. He's from the LFA featherweight fight. This is what Alon's been waiting for. We brought up Alex Volkanovski a couple times. Max Holloway. I love when fighters, young fighters, has that outlook, that aspiration. You know, even if he's making his UFC debut, he knows that's the goal. That's the end game for Alon. Love it. I love how what we talked about. We talked about the knee rule that the Fight Bananas were going to clinch. We talked about, of course, the MMA scoreboard, Fight Banana scoreboard. We've been on that for the longest minute. And then our latest idea is some kind of UFC minor leagues, UFC schooling, UFC better way of coaching up younger fighters, a way that fighters can be recognized maybe a little bit earlier. The regional scene is so hard in mixed martial arts. It's a grind. So give these kids, men and female, a better way to maybe get through and get eyes on them sooner and get them to train in. And that it's almost like not a level playing field, but, you know, it's just, it would be good for the sport of mixed martial arts. That's just me. That's just me. But, okay. Last but definitely not least, we're going to end the show on this. We put a video out. Man, we're truly blessed, guys. I don't know if you've seen or heard my social media platforms at David Van Auken, at Fight Bananas social media platforms, Fight Bananas Official on the IG, Facebook, all that stuff, guys. Come on. It's 2020. Come get us. We won the Florida Podcast of the Year. Yeah, let that bake for a second. Man, we appreciate it so much. We couldn't get there. We, you know, we're just having the kids and all, so we couldn't get there live, but we really try to make it out there. We'll be out there next year for sure. And it's just, you know, I couldn't thank, you know, they said, hey, give a minute real quick and thank. And I'm like, of course, you got to thank the fans, everyone that voted for us, everyone that's subscribing to the show, and people that, you know, download and like the podcast, you know, our community. So, you know, I still, again, want to say thank you. But, you know, we put a couple names on the our award, you know, little video there. It just wasn't enough. I really do. There's like, I'm doing this off the fly too. There's just so many people, literally every single fighter that's been on the show. I want to really show my gratitude for, you know, hey, they're grinding. MMA is the only sport in the world that's 100% guaranteed to get hurt. And these people, men and women, are giving up their bodies. And for us, I talk for a living. I look in a microphone and, you know, I put my hair up and boom, I spit on the mic. So I'm just so grateful for all the fighters out there. There's just so many. Taylor Jenkins, you know, Killer B Week, huge fan of hers. She's been just on the show so many times and we talked to her, just huge fans. You know, how about Jacob Kilburn? man's become a brother. You know what I mean? We always joke, we do filio to each other. Just so much love for Jacob Kilburn. My main man, Sherrar Blacklich. Impa Kasanganai, you know, girls from the Jungle MMA Fitness, who's also on UFC Norfolk, been on the podcast multiple times, Felicia Spencer, my dear friend Megan Cawley. There's just so many. I don't want to even say names. There's 100. There's, 200 names. You know, FRM, they've been so kind to me. There's just been so many people that have just been there since day one. Like I said, the Pete White boxing crew, Taylor White, John Radford, my man. He's been on the show 20 times. The fight breakdowns are some of the best podcasts we do. My main man, John Radford, the professor. So much love to you, brother. Love you, man. Anyone, you've been on the show. We talk about the fight game. I appreciate you. It's just awesome. It's really cool to be rewarded for the content we're putting out. Guys, it hasn't been a year yet. We got over 170 episodes of the Fight Bananas podcast. We are putting out content like no other mixed martial art podcast on this planet. So we're happy we got the Florida podcast of the year. We're not even close to done. Like, I want America. Then I want the world. Then I want the galaxy. I want it all. We're not even close to stopping. Guys, thank you so much to all of our sponsors out there. WarhammerFightwear.com. Check them out on that site. You can also check them out on Amazon, but hit them out on WarhammerFightwear.com. Some of the best gear in all of MMA. And Still Nutrition. Check them out at endstillnutrition.com. You can check them out on their Instagram page, but check them out on their website. They got all the joints that you, anything you need on mixed martial arts, they got it. Mixed martial arts, and Still Nutrition, getting the job done. Really appreciate them. Also, Mako Tech mouth guards. We're going to be seeing them for Island Fights 58. I know she's going to be out there. They help a lot of people, a lot of amateurs and pros, UFC fighters and everyone in between. Mako Tech mouth guards. Much, much love to them. Last but definitely not least, Fusion CBD products. Put in that code FIGHT2020. FIGHT2020. Yeah, I'm going to give it to you one more time. FIGHT2020 for 20% off all your purchase at FusionCBDProducts.com. UFC Norfolk, one of the most shows I'm so interested in. I cannot wait on ESPN Plus. Worth every single penny. You're welcome, UFC. Felicia Spencer in the co-main event. Alon Cruz, we cannot wait for his UFC debut. And so much more. Violent Bob Ross is on it. It's a stacked card. The Flyweight Championship of the World is going to be decided that night. So much is going on. My main man, Alon, thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon. We'll talk to you after you win. And anyone who's voted for us to be Podcast of the Year, thank you.